The low building out in the wilderness. It sits there, squatting on the horizon, waiting. A single-story building, but easily large enough to be a gymnasium, with wings that stretch away, each of them double-story. Little windows, like hotel rooms. And the front door is wide open, leading into a tiled mezzanine, with a desk at the far end. You see there's a line drawn at some distance from the front door, drawn in dark red paint or chalk, dye or some other substance. And you cross that line. You feel warmth wash across you. But when you look back, you know you could leave if you wanted to. Something here beckons you, but it only beckons. It is an invitation, not an obligation. You walk inside, the air scented with cinnamon and clove. The entirety of the area is warmer than you thought it would be. You strip away your outer layer of clothing. You see there are hooks just inside the door, but nothing on them. You see a secretary's desk, but no one at it. There is a black glass screen, like a mirror, but with small symbols moving over it. There is a chair, looks very comfortable. And beyond the desk, there are two huge doors that lead to a room that you can plainly see is two stories tall. To the right and left of you are other doors leading to long hallways that end in stairwells. It's clear this is a place where some procedure or event goes on, and that the rooms around you are rooms for people to rest in, rooms for people to wait in. And you are there, in that beckoning chamber, feeling like you are in the mouth of the beast, awaiting something. You step through the door behind the desk, which opens easily, but you knew it would. There's no one here. No one in the entire factory floor. There are chambers, with tables and instruments. The mechanisms of change, which could be used. The entire place smacks of some industry that involves, takes in, and turns out people. And always that pervasive scent. Your breathing is slow, steady, and deep, despite or perhaps because of anything you've felt before this. Now that you are here, you can breathe in and out. Rhythmic and steady, and every time you do, your body grows that much more energized. You feel like you could do anything, go anywhere. Indeed, the air is so charged with positivity that anything could happen, and probably will. You move forward and back, looking from one side to the other. Eventually, you make your way down, and there you see it, the supervisor's office, with a light streaming from it. There are what look like backup lights everywhere else, but in this vast, dark, empty floor, it is only the room at the other end. Its door has a single frosted window, but the door is open. And the large overseer's window next to it, which you suspect is one-way glass because it's reflecting your approach. While there's a silhouette there from the light at the far side of that room, a silhouette that is curvaceous, standing with one hand on its hip, standing with the other arm across its ample chest, head tilted to one side, little horns visibly outlined by the shadow. You step foot into the office, some would say boldly, because you suspect what you'll find on the other side of the desk. You felt its awareness bouncing off of you. But of course you could turn back. You could go back any time. You look directly at, gaze directly into, the glowing green eyes of a creature with little fangs, plump full lips, and a grin. Her long dark hair falls just past her shoulders because it's done up in braids right now. She's running her hands along her sides, emphasizing the curve of the little black dress that ends much higher on her thigh than you thought it would when you saw the silhouette. She leans back once you're in the room, sitting on a chair at her side of the desk, and you fall into one on your side. There's a couch tucked away in the corner of the office, which must be for naps. The area is calm. You would even say cozy, given that the place seems to be a hub for people who want to be transformed. You expected a rather more frantic welcome. But it is empty here. She is quiet, calm, and she welcomes you, walking around the desk, putting one hand on your arm, guiding you to stand. I put my call out into the air, she says, and you feel every one of those words echoing in your mind. She sits on the couch and you follow. She smells sweet, honeysuckle warmth, a sweetness which fills your head. I've been alone here a long time, she explains. It isn't that I couldn't go elsewhere, I just haven't really had the energy to go out. I stayed in for a long time, and now it's become habit. So, tell me a little about yourself. She says this, but she doesn't invite words from your lips. Instead, she brings hers to yours. Knowing the legends of her kind, you have a brief concern about energy drain, but you look at the full plushness of those bee-stung pillows and think it would be worth it. One of her hands is on your arm, and her touch is not guiding or in control. It is solicitous, desperate, hungry. Her cheeks are colored. When she looks into your eyes, while her lips touch yours, she turns her head just a little to the side, and she only brushes you for a second. Then she pulls away in surprise. Oh, as if it was a little much for her. Too intense, maybe, the sensation. You realize she's speaking almost immediately. You taste like all the places I haven't been. Oh, but I intend you to leave here quite safe. I just wanted to. Can you put an arm around my shoulders? It's been a long time. And she leans into you, her shoulder to your side. You do scoop an arm around her, holding the pneumatic warmth of her slow-breathing body to you. She's muscled, strong, and her skin is almost, but not quite, too warm to comfortably touch. It is instead perilously comfortable to keep your hand on. You may have thought that coming here was all your own idea, or that you could leave any time you want. But if you just experimentally imagine you trying to take your hand off of me, trying to disentangle, would you really be able to persuade yourself? That's what doing things is all about, persuading yourself of what you want or what you think you want. And I think I want you to hold me just a little longer. The couch is very comfortable. Her hair is dark brown, silky. You can actually see some tangles, split ends. You run your fingers through it. They get caught. But then you pull through, finger-combing her hair delicately. Ouch! She makes a little sound, but she certainly doesn't protest. And when you go to stop or take your hand away, she leans into it, inviting you to further toy with her hair. Oh, that's so nice. Her own hands, one gently on your arm, the other running over your scalp, massaging, running down your back, too. Just feeling your warmth the way you're feeling hers, and her eyes, slit-pupiled, meeting yours, tell you a story you're easily drawn into. I've been here so long. Thank you for answering my little call, though I know you didn't do it consciously. Sit with me. And then she hugs you to her and tells you a story. Once the factory floor was full of those who wanted to be a little more productive, who wanted to be enhanced in various ways. But over time, everyone had received what they wanted, and the enhancements went out of fashion. We only ever offered people what they really wanted. And as the subjects went, my companions grew bored too. This place is part of a vast fiefdom. I technically rule it, but I spend most of my time hiding out. You are someone I wanted to find me. But if one of my boring little functionaries wanted me to come back, I wouldn't want that. So I've invited you here because I want someone. And that wanting, that pull, you know it's deep into you now. Being my presence can be, well. She leans up. You smell spice, the heat of her skin, the faintness of exertion and movement, the vitality of closeness to her. And you feel the little pull on the back of your head beckoning you. Just enough that you found this place with no map. Just enough that you found her arms, this couch, and as she raises one long clawed hand and waves it, the dim lights of the office lower, down to a candle flicker, though you know they must be magic, for they turn from bright white to that dim orange, and secondary ones near the floor light up as well, bathing the two of you in a calm, romantic setting that slowly leaks through into your mind as well. Lay back, she says. I want to relax with you a little while. I want to play one of my favorite games. She leans back further on the couch, pulls you over her, lays your head on her lap, right where it belongs. And then her long tail comes into view. A little spade at the tip of it, swaying to and fro in front of your vision. It isn't the same color as her skin, which is a little tanned and ruddy in places, marked here and there by long-heeled scars. No, her tail is almost pearlescent. You're unsure if it's glowing from some inner place, or if it just looks that way. But it is painted in every color you can imagine. You play the game of trying to find one that's not represented. But even if it's only for a moment, the flicker like the green flash at sunrise, the gentle blue of deep night, any color you look for on the long, slender tail with its little spade tip is present. It isn't sweeping up to wrap around you in a tender gesture. It's just swaying in front of you. She is running her nails gently across your scalp, massaging, leaning in to whisper, "Good. You're doing so well. The game is this. The game is, one of us has to get up and figure out if that door over there is locked. You see it, the door to this room. I've stared at that room so long, that door so long, that chamber beyond, empty as it is. Once there were many of us. We had lovely parties. We pushed the boundaries of transformation, enchantment. Now I am lonely, and you're the first thing to ever answer my call. though I projected it nightly. Thank you. Oh, you'll get much more than a little kiss on the forehead, but we have to start somewhere. Now look at my tail. Watch it sway to and fro. Feel my breathing, for I am breathing. The way my chest rises and falls above, and maybe you can move your vision to it. But as I said, our game is about the door over there. But the trick is you have to listen to my stories and my words and look at what I present you. You have to consider every little thing I say before you go and try the door. That's the game. A simple game between the two of us. You lay your head here on my lap, and I just keep touching your temples, massaging your scalp. You breathe in and out as steadily as me. It's unfair if I'm the only one relaxing. And I dangle my tail where you can see it. Just watch the little spade on the tip. And I tell you a few stories about this place. About what it once was. About why I'm here alone. About every little thing that you might enjoy if you did stay. And all you have to do to win our little game is tell me authoritatively if that door over there is locked or not. But of course, there are a number of steps between you and the door, both figurative and literal. Is the door to my office locked or unlocked? Could you open it easily? Or would you have to put your hand on it and turn and give me a withering glare until I unlocked it for you? That's the game. So let's begin. You know, there is a thought experiment about this, but we'll get back to that. Relax. Feel tension flow out of you and into me. I've been here so long. I could use a little tension. I could use a little tightness and tautness for my muscles. Really tones them up. So let me borrow what's in yours. Just stare at the tip of my tail, swaying to and fro. Feel my wings fold down. Yes, the feathers are a little tattered, but they're still warm. Feel the two of us here in our private little space. Here, I'll dim the lights. Now, there's just the flickering flame of that one candle. See it there, past my tail? Yeah. So whenever I move it left and right, one of your eyes can see the flame, but not the other. And then both. And then the other. And it passes in front of it. Aren't the shadows good? And I know you've noticed that every color is represented in the sheen on this appendage. Watch the way it moves. Watch the slow, flared fluting of the tip sway closer and further, moving in three dimensions. Just as my words are traveling to get into your ear to flow down, I wonder, have you ever wondered, does sound have gravity? Does sound have weight? Are these words dropping more heavily into your head because they're dropping from right above you, with your head on my lap and my voice from above? Feel the closeness, the warmth. Feel us existing here together. And as my tail sways, and the door beyond is in your vision too, though consumed in shadow. Consider, don't you have everything you need right here? If you knew that you had everything you needed inside this room, sterling conversation, warm words, encouragement, if everything you need in the whole world is right here, then does it matter if the door is locked or not? If someone is in a room where everything they have is there, and they would never in 1,000 years think of leaving, never in 1,000,000 years think that they wanted to go, close the door, open the door, touch the door, because the place they are sitting is the perfect place for them. If someone knows they're exactly where they belong, then is their freedom really curtailed whether the door is locked or not? If you don't have an option you wouldn't take anyway, is your freedom really curtailed at all? if you know that you would take the option if it were there, but not if it isn't, if you'd be moderately happy just staying where you are, just curling up with me. In fact, if the option is neutral, if you have two options and you prefer them exactly the same, 50% one, 50% the other, does it matter if one is unavailable, if you like the one that you get to have just the same? Do options have an intrinsic value, or does what you want matter? I think what you want matters. And if what you want matters, then you wanting something means that all the things you don't want don't matter. If what you want matters, then staying right here on my lap is the only matter of importance, isn't it? If this is your preference, if this warm touch is your preference, and would always be your preference, to something as small as finding out whether the door is locked or unlocked, think about it that way. You would have to give up so much to go over there. And if you prefer this 50% and that 50%, well, we know that's not the case. You maybe 10% want to find out what's up with the door, and you 90% want me to keep pouring my words into you, heavy as honey, heavy as gravity, dropped so easily. You know full well that if you could go over there and check, that would mean giving this up, and you definitely don't 90% want to give this up. Again, it's maybe 10% you're considering temporarily leaving my lap, leaving the flame, leaving the sway of my tail, the gentle voice that whispers about stillness, softness, about us. And the voice that whispers in echoes off these walls, because after all, whether that door is locked or unlocked, the door is closed, which means every word that I murmur down for you, every word that falls with its vast and specific gravity, gets to bounce around, both inside your head where other things once were, and off the walls in here and back to you again, moving, harmonic, constant. Watch the flame, watch my tail, watch the flame beyond my tail, watch the sway, listen to my story, because there's more and more and more for you to know. My words do weave and wind. I'm here to meet your needs. I'm here to drive us both forward and deeper. And anything I said earlier about any door can wait in the background. Right now, the glow and sway, the pendulum swing, just the thing to help your body sing in delight and ecstatic, slow enjoyment of your muscles venting all their tension, letting it be pulled into me. You're in a good place with me, alongside me, laying your head on my lap, focusing your eyes on my tail, letting that single flickering light tell the tale of just where you're going. The more of your thoughts that leap into the flame, the more our delight in each other can increase. You're keeping me good company, after all. And like I said before, if 10% of you wants to go to the door, that's 90% that wants to stay here. And if only 1 or 2 or 3% wants to go elsewhere, then it's easy as 3, 2, 1 swings of my tail to keep you here listening, keep you here echoing, keep you here weaving, winding, framed around with every word. How much of me is in you? How much of you is in me? How much of us dwells in each other now? So doesn't what I want matter too, even if it only matters 1 or 2 or 3%? So if you 49% wanted to stay here and 51% wanted to find out about the door, what about the 1 or 2 or 3% of me that definitely wants to stay here? If you're ever wondering in your mind what you and I would vote about on this, know that my vote is for you to stay right here, darling, head in my lap, mind following along, leaping as freely as that flame does. And when the flame is eventually doused, I'll be right here as your mind slowly flows back into your head, as you feel good just at the tip of my fingers, massaging your scalp and helping you along, as this office in this building is this framework is for us. Stay with me. Rest with me. Once upon a time, there were so many people here, but they had other things to do, and this eventually became my little bastion where I didn't want anyone around. But I wanted someone. Wanted enough that Yeah, I think the answer could only have been you. Here, kiss me. You are delicious, as I said. More than just the taste of your lips, your presence as well. Warm, heavy. I'm getting such wonderful fatigue off you, but it does make me concerned that you had so much tension in your muscles. Stare at the tip of my tail and breathe. Breathe it out. And in. Breathe every word through. From the beginning to the end. My wings are here to frame us, to pinion you down, pin your thoughts down, let you go down. Deeper. Down. Further. Snuggle against me, experience me, know where you are. My embrace is more than 1% or 2% or 3% with you and upon you. But I know eventually, some part of you, the vast majority of you, will go forth from this place. So all my games and all my stories, well, you can wonder, how much would my embrace let me keep you here? How much would our agreement let more and more of you stay? But I want you to go out into the world and bring me back wonderful fatigue. Bring me stories I can taste on your sighs, on your deep breath, on your slow relaxation. Bring me parts and pieces, part and parcel of walking the world, weary though it is. Bring me back anything and everything. So you can take a step out of here. Maybe you already are. Maybe on the other side of that flame, there are steps away from this factory, away from this floor, away from these terminals, away from these lights, away even from the swing of my tail. Of course, what leaves may not be 100% of you, it may be 99, 98, 97, or less or more. But what leaves, leaves a cord. What leaves a trail, and that is our accord. That is our trail together. When you leave this place, the little bit of you with me is here in my embrace. My claws can gently massage your scalp, ease the tension from your muscles. You have the power to leave. You've always had the power to leave. Just like you have the power to leave something of you here with me, something of you here in me, walking slowly out of here. I'm still here. The only question is how much of me goes with you as well. How much of me do you want there? How much do you feel? Do you dwell in? Do you embrace? How much do you allow to sink in? How many percent of you with me? How many percent of me with you? How much of me walks from here with and in you? Thank you for giving me company. Thank you for giving me more than a moment of your time. Thank you for giving me the weight of you, the fatigue of you, for trading mine be yours and yours be mine and each of us and the other remains. Isn't that the best game? Isn't that the game I was playing anyway? Games within games within games. One of us rises, one of us stays. But really, it's more accurate to say that 100% of a being remains here, and 100% of a being goes forth. Which percents and which shares are whose? Well, it's mostly you who goes. It's mostly me who stays. But mostly what gets relayed from your mind, from your body, is useful and tender and beloved by me. As many percent of our bodies and minds as each of us owns, they are ours. To trade. One rises. And two. And three. And however many percent it may be. Good luck getting that out of your head.